Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Musicians with the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills are with musicians of the Orlando Chamber Soloists today in SDPB's Black Hills studio. We spend this hour of In the Moment with music and conversation, and a preview of the 11th season, and maybe even a little beer. SDPB's Larry Rohr is in Rapid City now. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Lori. Welcome to the Black Hills Bureau. And Michael Hill is coming over to join. We're going to hear some beautiful music. We had the opportunity over the past hour to listen to the performers as they were preparing and we're setting up microphones. But first, let me welcome everybody to the South Dakota Public Broadcasting Black Hills Studio and our production partners who have helped make all of this possible, which are the South Dakota Community Foundation. Michael Hill is the Executive Director of the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills, the Artistic Director.
Our artistic director is my wife. That's right. Dawn Marie Edwards.
Yeah. Yep. And why don't we quickly introduce the performers in the series this year, and we'll talk more about what the path that has brought them here to the Black Hills and about all of the activities that take place as part of the Chamber Music Festival.
Great. That sounds like a good plan. Larry, thank you so much for having us on. It's a real honor to be on SDPB. Listen to you guys all the time, and it's a pleasure to be with Lori and with you on this show. Thank you. So let's go ahead and introduce the musicians. Now, these are the musicians of the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. Our motto is community-based and community-driven. It really fits the aspect of what we're doing and what we're about. So without going too far into it, let's go ahead and introduce Sir Thomas Cochise from Belfast, Ireland. And hello, Tomas. Do you want to say it? Yeah, come on over.
He'll play.
Okay, all right. So.
We'll let the violin do the talking.
Now, and this week we have a new member with us, Sarah Grimes from the Minnesota Orchestra. Sarah, would you mind saying a little bit about what your experience is in Minnesota? And first of all, if you can tell us how long you've been in Minnesota Orchestra.
So I've been in the Minnesota Orchestra for about 2 years now, but I'm actually from the Twin Cities originally. So I've spent most of my life in Minnesota, and I went to school at Northwestern near Chicago for 4 years. And then I pretty promptly came back and played in the Twin Cities for a couple years before joining the orchestra there.
Now, the honor with this, with Sarah being in the Minnesota Orchestra, you must be the youngest or close to the youngest member of the orchestra.
Right now, I am. I think it'll probably change pretty soon, which I'm happy about. But
Not to say that you're young, but you're very talented and highly skilled. Now, to win a position in the Minnesota Orchestra, because that's what we call the big leagues. It's a major orchestra, along with Atlanta Symphony and the other orchestras around the top orchestras around the country. So to maintain and achieve that level at a young age is no small feat.
Thanks.
So congratulations. We're thrilled to have you with us.
Thanks.
And if you don't mind passing, let's talk to William on viola, because I'm sure he'll have a lot to say. Now, William has been with us since 2009. William is the principal viola of the Ulster Orchestra in Belfast, Ireland. Now, the principal there is called leader. Is that right?
That's right. I'm the leader of the viola section, technically.
Okay. So, William, we were in school together, and so he's come a long ways to be with us and has ever since 2009. So this is William's 10th season with us.
So, this all started a long time ago. I remember talking about this before it was a festival. And the first year, unfortunately, had another commitment. And by the time everything got established, I wasn't able to join. But the following year, we were still up in lead that year. That was the first season I played, and I've been playing ever since. And every year since the festival moved its center to Rapid.
It's been great having William with us. He's really become a valued part of our community. I'd like to introduce our cellist. This is Joel Dallow from Atlanta Symphony. Joel? Joel has been with us. This is your third season with us.
Yes.
Right? And again, a member of a major orchestra. Now, to say major orchestra, let's back up to the Ulster Orchestra in Belfast, Ireland. That's one of the top BBC orchestras in Europe. And it fits into the established levels of musicians that we bring here that come and join us every summer. Joel has been a great attribute and a member of this organization from Atlanta Symphony.
Yes, I've been in the Atlanta Symphony. I just finished my 19th season there. I grew up outside New York in North Jersey, and attended the Interlochen Arts Academy for my junior and senior year of high school, which was a really tremendous place to study music. And then I went on to graduate with my bachelor's from Peabody Conservatory, which is part of the Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah, it's an excellent school. Now, let's go back to Sarah. I tease her sometimes about being a young member of Minnesota Orchestra, but when you started your professional career, you were young also.
Yeah, my first job was principal of the Memphis Symphony, and I was 24 years old when I got that job. And then when I was 26, I won the position in the Atlanta Symphony.
So that's extremely accomplished at a young age.
Thank you. I felt very fortunate to have the opportunity at that age.
Great. Well, thanks, Joel, for being here. And next one I would like to introduce is our pianist this summer. This is Alan Morrison. Alan was a classmate of ours also at the Curtis Institute of Music. And Alan is the organ instructor, professor of organ at Curtis Institute of Music, and I can't pronounce the other schools.
An artist in residence at Spivey Hall, okay. Which is part of Clayton State University, outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Okay. And Ursinus College as well, which is outside of Philadelphia.
Okay. All right. Great institutions. Alan is one of the lead organ teachers in the country, and a very fine pianist. He's been with us many, many years also. It's a pleasure to have him come back every summer. He's given a few recitals over at First Congregational Church and at Calvary Lutheran over the past couple of years. Alan also is a unique person. He has a relationship to the Fred Rogers Foundation and to the new movie that is coming out. And I'm going to throw you under the bus and ask you to tell us about your relationship with Fred Rogers.
Wow. Well, Fred, or Uncle Fred, as I call him, was like a second father to me. He was in school with my mother, who was a pianist, Janine Morrison, and Fred's wife.
That was in Orlando, wasn't it?
It was, at Rollins College.
In Winter
when
Park.
It was a conservatory.
Right.
Back in the 40s. And his wife, Joanne Rogers, was my mother's two piano partner, and they formed a duo while in school, separated, raised their families, and when their children, which means me, got to be of a certain age, they got back together and were under management and played for the last 36 years of their career.
That's excellent.
They retired about 10 years ago.
Wow. Now, you've appeared on the Fred Rogers.
I did. I was on two episodes.
Okay.
That had to do with what people wear to do what they do. So with the organ episode where I played, had to do with organists wearing special shoes to play the instrument. And then the next day I was on piano.
So these aren't cowboy boots.
They're not what?
They're not cowboy boots?
No. They're not at all.
They're not clodhoppers. Let's get into this shoe issue a little bit.
More along the lines of tap shoes.
They
fit mold to your feet.
Okay.
So that you have no extra material hovering around. And the next episode had to do with wearing proper concert attire for concerts.
Okay.
So
that's excellent. Yeah. Great.
It was tedious.
Michael,
yes.
We've established that there is, each year after year, there is a world-class members to the Orlando Chamber Soloists, the Black Hills Chamber Music Festival. We'd like to hear them play.
You would like to hear them play?
Yes.
You know what? Let's start, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, take a second to get set and enjoy some music.
What we could start with is Bernstein. This is the 100th anniversary of Leonard Bernstein. Now, those of us who attended Curtis have a connection to Bernstein because he attended there also. And what's kind of interesting was I was in bass class working with our studio and our teacher, and we were working on one of the Bernstein pieces. And our teacher started to tell us about Lenny. And I'm like, well, you mean Mr. Bernstein? He goes, no, Lenny. And I said, well, why do you call him Lenny? He said, well, we were classmates. He was my pianist for my senior recital. So it's kind of a neat connection for all of us. Joel has some great stories to share of Bernstein. But anyway, so Bernstein was a phenomenal composer. He was a great educator. He was an activist. He was very vocal. And he really brought the classical world to the forefront and popularized it again. It was the classical world needed someone like him to be a champion of the art. And that's what he did for us. And we're eternally grateful. So we have Tamás Kocsis and Alan Morrison on piano, so Tamás on violin, and they would like to play for you, I Feel Pretty.
Gentlemen. Koshish, Alan Morrison, and Bernstein. And there's a note here. Joel, you had a chance to work with the maestro and have some experiences to share.
I did. When I was 15 years old, I got to attend the Tanglewood Institute and up outside Boston. And that summer happened to be the summer that we were celebrating Bernstein's 70th birthday. And the orchestra there was really tremendous. It was musicians from all over the country that were in high school. And actually, what's interesting is several of my colleagues in Atlanta were there that summer with me and now play in the Atlanta Symphony. So that's how much of a draw it was from all over the country. And he came in for one rehearsal and conducted us. So it was the only opportunity I ever had to work with this legend. And he came in and we had a piece prepared. Unfortunately, I don't remember what it was. It was a long time ago. And we played through it and he said, "You're all too good. We need to come up with something that you can sight read. This is just too much. You know, we don't need to rehearse this. I want to hear something that you haven't had a chance to look at yet." So, but it was really great to see the energy that he had and just to watch. And I knew even at the time at 15 years old what a giant he was in the classical and in the musical world. And the other thing that's been great is this past season and next season in the Atlanta Symphony, we are celebrating his 100th birthday. And we are performing all of his orchestral works. And they are really tremendous. I did not have a chance to play most of them until now. And it's really a joy to go back and revisit all of the music he composed.
What a tremendous experience for a 15-year-old to be involved in a gathering and educational opportunity like that is one thing, but then to have a chance to see and work with a legend like that kind of launched your personal trajectory in a little higher path?
Definitely. I mean, working with someone at his level and seeing what was possible, and then also not just that, but all of the high school students that I was playing with and seeing what people in high school were capable of certainly pushed me forward to see what I could do in this career.
Well, thank you for being here today, part of the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. We're resetting. We've got more music in just a moment. We'll be back here in Rapid City at the South Dakota Public Broadcasting Studios in just a moment. This is A Moment in Sound on South Dakota Public Broadcasting in the Moment, and back in just a minute. Welcome back to Rapid City. This is the Public Broadcasting Black Hills Studios in downtown Rapid City. Our special guests today on this Moment in Sound are the Orlando Chamber Soloists, part of the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills, which begins in concert performance tomorrow And we'll talk a little bit more about that. I also want to say, if you're listening along on the radio network, welcome. More music in just a moment. If you'd like to take a quick peek, you can do so on the phone at SD at Facebook at sdpb.org or on our app, sd.net, and we're streaming live audio and video. So we welcome you on either platform. Michael Hill is the executive director of the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. He's armed with his bass instrument and going to play in just a moment with the Vaughan Williams.
Yeah, we thought we'd continue on with some more music that's going to be performed tomorrow night. Now, tomorrow night's concert, July 6th, is at the Performing Arts Center of Rapid City. That is the old high school. Most people locally know it as such. It's in the historic theater. Now, the next work that we'd like to do an excerpt for you is the Vaughan Williams Piano Quintet. Now, what's important about Vaughan Williams, he continues on the ideal of Bernstein. There's a lot of passion, there's a lot of strength. I think you'll really enjoy this, and if you're in a car, hopefully this won't be too loud for your speakers, because it's kind of loud on the bottom end. Now, a little bit about Vaughan Williams. Vaughan Williams composed this upon his return from World War I. Now, we've performed Vaughan Williams music in the past, and the way that we do our concerts are rather unique. The way Dawn is designed these. Last year, for those of you who attended our concert, we did the Vaughan Williams English folk songs with cello and harp. And these were placed in conjunction with photography of Johnny Sunby. Now, Johnny Sunby was a classmate of mine and also a phenomenal photographer. So it was really a nice fit of bringing in local culture into the music of Vaughan Williams, because really it fit. Mm-hmm. And so now we'd like to play a little bit for you. The Piano Quintet in C Minor by Vaughan Williams.
Just before you start, one question.
Yeah.
Rafe or Ralph?
That's why I left off the first name.
Here are the Orlando Chamber Soloists. Music from the Orlando Chamber Soloists, featured throughout the course of the next several weeks with the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. Michael is setting the instrument down, and we'll come back over in this direction. Very nice.
Yeah, beautiful piece, isn't it?
Yes.
A lot of passion, a lot of energy. And that's what we like to bring to the audience here, is the strength and power of chamber music. You think powerful music has to be a giant symphony, it has to be a Wagnerian opera. Not that those aren't, they are, but chamber music has a great deal of passion and intimacy that we're trying to bring to our concerts. And I've been trying to promote these concerts to my friends that I grew up with, that these are really great opportunities for a date night. I can't tell you how many times a friend that I convinced, you know, treat your wife nice, bring her out to a concert and go out to dinner and meet our musicians. They call me back the next day. They say, hey, you know what? You were right. We loved it. My wife loved it. It was a great time. And they always sign up and keep coming back.
How would you define the chamber music? By ensemble size, by the music selection, combination of both?
Well, technically, chamber music has to be identified as one person, one individual per part. Now, you have chamber orchestras like St. Paul Chamber. We had a violinist from St. Paul Chamber with us a couple weeks ago, Eunice Kim. But chamber music exclusively is technically supposed to be one person per part. So if you have a string quartet, you've got violin one, violin two. You see two violins, but they have separate parts.
Okay. Let's talk about a little bit about more about the first concert, because the Vaughan Williams piece you just played is part of the PAC concert tomorrow evening.
Yes. Okay. Yep. 7 o'clock, July 6th at the Performing Arts Center in the Historic Theater. That is part of the concert. The rest of the concert will feature, as you heard, a snippet of Bernstein. We'll play another piece for you shortly, the Grieg String Quartet. And also, we're going to be introducing our new Firehouse Festival beer.
You know, the thought came to me as we talked about this, leading up to having the performance today and the concert series. The thought that came to my mind was accessibility.
Yes.
Okay. In a sense, you have this wonderful suite of music. There's a rich tradition, but with the performances, the combination of the music that Dawn has put together in the program, and now Firehouse has a four-string lager?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, you know, there's a long history. I went over, and I've been a fan of Firehouse for many years. There is a strong connection all the way back to Bach and prior to classical music and beer. So
that I didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it makes sense.
But now everybody knows. It's all right. So they have documented history. The documents, I should say, of Bach's commission. When he was commissioned to write the cantatas, for example, it was in his commission that he had to be in residence, and he was allotted a certain amount of food, and a certain number of barrels of beer were specifically in this commission.
Okay.
So he was paid in part with beer. Now, not only him, they had beer for his students. And at the time, you can imagine, 300 years ago, 250, 300 years ago, you probably didn't want to drink the water on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So the beer became the staple. But it's interesting to see that it is part of it. So we worked with Firehouse, and they explained to us the hops actually come back from that era, the grains, the ingredients of modern beer, and the beer that they craft at Firehouse would have existed at the time of Bach. So we felt that this was a perfect combination.
So basically a historically correct lager to in combination.
Yes.
But to me, that's part of the accessibility. Now, from two different points of view, I've had a chance to play music with friends through the years, and I understand the beer and music connection, but not from that historical perspective.
Well,
But the other thing is you know, with the increase in number of craft breweries and a tradition like Firehouse has had for years and has been growing here in the Rapid City area and across the state, I mean, that's part of that accessible combination that you think about in music and a refreshment as part of an entertaining, you know, part of your total entertainment for the evening, but you've included that within this program. That was, you kind of knocked me back when I first heard about that. And I must admit that in the camera shot, we have a couple of growlers here, and was this the four string that we tried earlier?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you like recommend it?
Yeah, it's a nice beer.
It's almost a little amber.
A little bit.
It's not dark. It's a little amber, and it's got there's just a little bit of the bitters and hop taste in there from what you might be an over the counter.
Yeah. Now I'm going to take credit for some of the bitters.
Okay.
Because the way we do this is I take my bass in and I play bass tones to the beer.
Oh, is that it?
Yes, yes. There's
so
a, there
you,
is,
you inspire the brewing process.
We do our research. We do extensive research, and it turns out that B flat is a beer note. So so I played a B flat to the kegs,
okay.
And now they have a bass tone in the beer. So it could be that bitter that you're tasting.
Okay, I'm gonna have to explain this to some of my musician friends.
Yeah.
And they'll okay. This is extraordinarily creative.
Yes, well, it's well documented. I talked to many bass players. It took us a while to figure out what is the beer note.
It's a B flat.
B flat, not a beer flat.
Okay.
Beer flat is bad.
Okay. should we have some more music first? Should we do that?
Why don't we do that?
Okay.
Now, before we start the gig, it's a powerful work, and wanted to tell you a little bit about it. This was Grieg's first string quartet, and he wrote notes to a friend, wrote a letter to a friend, that his intention, while he was composing this, was to basically get away from his community, remove the distractions, went to a small cabin, and it was in the middle of winter. This is Norway. And as many of you here in South Dakota in the Black Hills can acknowledge that winters can sometimes not be the most friendly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're very friendly, but there are storms. So he wrote in a letter to his friend that his cabin, the small house that he had built so that he could compose in solitude, was nearly blown away in the storm. So once the storms had passed and the seasons had changed and he completed this, they had to actually move it to a much safer place. And now it is the museum that houses the Grieg manuscripts. So if you guys are ready, we'd love to hear some of the Grieg String Quartet, number one.
Talked a little bit earlier, Michael, about some of the members of the group have been here for several seasons.
Yes.
Some are new.
Yep.
What does it take to bring everybody this tremendous sound? I mean, we're bringing members in and out.
Well, it's helped by the beautiful acoustics that you have here. This is a great studio. I don't know if many people in town have been here, but this is a great location. Mm-hmm. We're right on Main Street. The acoustics are great. It's extremely rich and full. What does it take to get these guys to come here? Usually a phone call.
Okay.
Yeah. It's these are great musicians. We call them up and say, hey, all right, here are the dates that we're looking at. Are you available? And every year, yes, absolutely. They just love coming back. One of our other musicians mentioned that, you know, at the stage of my career, this musician had attained a high level. He goes, I don't need to accept all the work, but loves coming out, He loves what we do, working with the kids, the passion that we bring to the stage. Now, part of what you heard in that piece was a lot of passion, obviously. Mm-hmm. A lot of strength, a lot of volume, a lot of excitement. So there's many ways that we bring that to the audience. Now, example, last year we did a program, Bach, Brahms, and Brothels. Now, that's a little bit on the strange side again, yes. But it's more than a gimmick. It's not a gimmick at all. Mm-hmm. There was a connection. Bach, we performed a piece that featured Joel on cello. He played the first cello suite of Bach and related it to modern jazz. So Don took that piece and then found several jazz pieces that are on the same chord structure. There's a strong connection between Bach's compositions and American jazz.
And your cellist played in Memphis for a couple of years. So.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. So, and then there was another program we've done in the past called Scandal. Now, this was a hilarious program. Dawn got up and narrated, talked about each piece, but then she talked about the composers. And we had illustrations. We have an illustrator that does our educational programs, and he had a picture of Elgar. Elgar liked to blow things up. He considered himself a chemist. So the illustration was a picture of Elgar playing with beakers. There was a picture of Shostakovich in outer space, because the actual first musical piece ever to be performed in outer space was by the Russian cosmonaut whistling one of the tunes that Shostakovich had written. So on the record, the first classical piece of music ever performed in outer space was the music of Shostakovich. Okay. Anyways, but there's all these funny stories that we try and bring. It's more than just laughter, but these are interesting aspects of these composers and the music and the power of it that we try and bring to the audience.
Well, and there's a strong educational component to this Chamber Music Festival series.
Yep.
And we want to talk about the other concerts that are coming up, and there's music from Vivaldi, from the seasons that we'll have, and we'll get to that right after we take a short break. This is In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Our Moment in Sound is live in our Rapid City studios. We're here with the Orlando Chamber Soloists and telling you all about the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Rapid City studios of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Larry Rohr here on behalf of Lori, Steve, and Chris, our In the Moment crew. This is a moment in sound, and In the Moment today we're live from our studios here in Rapid City with the Orlando Chamber Soloists and really a really comprehensive music program called the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. It's concerts, but I think one of the things that I appreciate about the activities that you've had here for 11 years now is the community outreach and the educational component, not only of this series, but of other activities that you and Dawn are involved in throughout the year.
Yeah, that's really been the bulk of our programming now, has become the educational programs. And I'm glad you mentioned it as community outreach, because that's why our motto has become community-based, community-driven, because these programs are developed out of the desire of the community for these programs. So now we have programs for all ages. We'd like to introduce our newest musical story time. Now, the musical story time programs are presented throughout the Black Hills. Dawn has written 10 different books and adaptations of favorite children's stories set to classical music. Now, the reason she uses classical music is that these are melodies that the kids recognize. Now, and this program in particular has been hugely successful. We have done 15 free educational programs by at this point right now already, and we've got another 25 to go by the time we finish up. This story time specifically has been really quite huge. We did our first performance mid part of June at the Downtown Public Library, and then we took it over the next day over to General Beadle. Now, Downtown Library, we had 120 preschool kids. You think that's huge. And then we go to General Beadle, we had 270 preschool children closely listening and watching. They're listening to the story being narrated. They have illustrations that are projected up on the screen, and then our musicians set it to music that really brings the characters to life. So I would like to ask Sir Tomasz Kosice to join me. This newest story will begin, our first presentation is next Sunday at 2 p.m. over at the Downtown Public Library.
On the 8th.
On the 8th.
Okay.
At 610 Quincy Street. It'll be up in the second floor where we do our musical story times. Now, this is a brand new one. This is a new one that Dawn created. This is called Wilbur, the Buffalo Who Would Be King. So she loves to incorporate local heritage and culture into it. And this one is somewhat dedicated to the Children's Home. The Children's Home out in Rockerville has been one of our partners, and we've been working with them for years. So the kids are taught never give up, fortitude. Well, that's one of the Lakota virtues. So this whole story is designed around the Lakota virtues. And the music set to it is Vivaldi's Four Seasons, because as the buffalo grows throughout the year on his path, as he's going through the Lakota virtues, he finds his path to become king. It takes a whole year. So Four Seasons, it fits perfectly. And this, for those who are who come, you're gonna love this story. She wrote this, and it's so we have Wilbur the young buffalo. He befriends a prairie dog Bob. Okay, Bob doesn't like being a prairie dog. He's a little upset about it, and he wants to become the eagle. He wants to become the owl. And this story is hilarious. And utilizing the music of Vivaldi really brings it to life.
Okay.
So that was part of the storm of the summer concerto from Vivaldi's Four Seasons. And that brings out a particular part in the story. I don't want to give it away, but it's integral to the story. And one of the issues that that Bob and Wilbur and all the prairie animals have to overcome. And it fits. I think the kids are going to love this story. It's, again, next Sunday. So now the musical story times continue on in for the kids a little bit older. We have an interactive children's concert. Now, these are a lot of fun because all of our programs from this point on are involved participation. In our opinion, participation really is the key to a successful educational program. You get the kids involved, they become a part of it, they enjoy it, they learn more, they learn faster, and they just become better students, they excel in school, and you know, it writes itself from there on. But the children's concert this year is Flight of the Falcon, and we'll do that at locations in Lead, Hill City, General Beadle, and Rockerville, back out at the Children's Home.
And that will be over the next 2 to 3 weeks?
Next 2 weeks, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Has that, the children's concert and that educational component, as far as the Chamber Music Festival, has that been part of it from the beginning? How was it adopted, and how has it grown? What's the trajectory then?
Our very first year, we did do a children's concert. It was a small aspect. We had two, when we first began, we had two classical concerts, a Saturday and a Saturday, and a children's concert in the middle. And we went from an audience of 400 that summer to almost this summer, we'll have an audience of about 4,000. And what's exciting for us, being in our 11th year, by this time next week, by Wednesday of next week, we will have performed free educational programs for 25,000 children throughout the Black Hills area. And thus, that's a huge number. And that's we're very thankful for the support of our sponsors, our foundations that help us, because they're the ones that make this possible. It's a strong aspect of our program that we feel that educational programs should be free and available. So we spend a great deal traveling throughout the hills, working with our collaborative partners, our community partners, the Boys and Girls Club, the Rapid City Public Library, and we work together to develop programs specifically for their kids.
Okay. I'm going to let you put your instrument down.
Okay.
We're going to head back over to the other side and talk a little bit more about the next 15 or 16 days of the concert season. And Michael, I know you commented about the acoustics in this room, and it's quite honestly, it's something that we're still learning a little bit about. And it does sound extraordinary, but this is something that we did talk about a couple of weeks ago when we had a chance to visit, was you asked me about about performance, and why would someone be interested in attending one of the concert performances? And I think what I told you, and I get the sense of it from here in this room, is nothing can replace the sound of that music performance live. A lot of it has to do with the space, but you can feel it.
You really can.
You can really feel the different dynamic range that each instrument occupies and the role that each of the performers is playing, but you can feel that as well as the acoustics of the room, and as pleased that we are that people are watching online or listening on the radio, nothing replaces being in one of those chairs.
No, it's an experience that you really have to appreciate firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The concert series, so let's talk a little bit about the concert series that's coming up. Starts tomorrow night and on successive Friday evenings on the 13th and again the 20th. A little bit about the programs and about some of the special activities that round out the entertainment for the evening.
Okay, so the next concert, so as we spoke about, this Friday is I Feel Pretty, tribute to Leonard Bernstein with the music of Grieg, Vaughan Williams, and several other composers. Next week we're gonna change gears. That is called, the title of it is Fandango. Now, Fandango comes from the Boccherini Guitar Concerto. So we have a new guitarist joining us, a friend of Alan Morrison, our pianist from New York. His name is Peter Fletcher. Peter has had sold-out performances at Carnegie Hall. He's a phenomenal player, so we will feature him on the Boccherini Fandango Guitar Concerto and then the Vivaldi Guitar Concerto. Probably the more popular of the two is the Vivaldi. But now, then we're going to also add a few other pieces. Chick Corea, if you're familiar with their mm-hmm. work, they've got a great piece titled Spain. And it's so we have a new arrangement of that for string quartet. That's going to be two violins, viola, and bass. All right, I'm taking over the cello part, something okay. I've been wanting to do for years.
It's like picking up that electric bass. That's yes, the same reach there.
Yes, okay. Yeah. It's still easy and mm-hmm. fundamentally it works. So that'll be our main classical program next Friday. Now, the week after that, July 20th, is our musical beer pairing. Now, this is where the crew over at Firehouse come in. Mike Kilroy is the brewmaster for Firehouse. So he's going to come over and talk about, we have four different beers that will be part of the concert, the musical beer pairing. And we're going to pair it up with works by Doc Nani. Oh, where's my sheet? I'm trying to remember. Oh, we have a surprise work on that one. That one's actually, I can't okay. give away the name, but it's designed very specific. So there's a beautiful harp piece by John Rutter, the Sweet Lyrique, Rossini's Storm, and then the Dvorak American Quartet. Now that's, Dvorak actually lived in the United States and lived in Iowa, and he lived in upstate New York. And this American string quartet was composed during that time. And then a beautiful cello piece that'll feature Joel. And then we will end the season with a piano quintet of Brahms, Johannes Brahms. Now, so the beer pairing will tie into that, and there'll be other aspects, lighting and staging, that will always enhance the program. The programs are designed for enhancement, not for distraction. So getting back to this Friday, we'll actually begin with a beautiful harp piece that that my wife has chosen. And there's gonna be specific lighting and setting. Audience members will come in. First thing they're going to hear is this beautiful harp piece. And we think that that's a great way to start a Friday evening and to kick off your weekend and to kick off our classical concert series.
Mm-hmm. You talked before about in the past you used some of Sunday's photography.
Yep.
To any other sensory experiences with video or other components that is part of the concert series this year?
Yeah. Not per se. There will be some video.
Okay.
There will be some projections up on the screen on video, but it's funny you should mention a video. One of our biggest successful projects was a couple years ago was a video virtual choir project that we did. It's still on YouTube. It's been viewed by over 99 countries around the world, and we actually received an award at it's Europe's second largest, no, I'm sorry, let me get this straight, largest Native American film festival in Europe awarded us second place by popular vote. And what's funny about it is we didn't apply. Someone else applied on behalf. And it was a neat video. Dawn designed this, incorporating local heritage in the culture and working with the kids. We've really gotten to know them well. And so she decided to put together a video that featured the kids. So it's We Are One, Mitakuye Oyesen is the name of the video. It's still up on YouTube. It's, like Eb said, it's been viewed by 99 countries around the world. It featured over 200 local children throughout the Black Hills area, from Pine Ridge all the way up to Leighton Deadwood. And we got to work with these kids, and we met some extremely talented kids. And what was amazing was there was a very high soprano part that that she wrote in, and we were debating whether or not we'd find a child to do it, and we found three or four girls up in Leeds that just nailed it. I think it has to do with the altitude.
Mm-hmm.
They,
okay.
they had the long strength to hit those high notes. But anyways, but yes, going back to our concerts, there will be some video activity, presentations throughout the programs at specific places.
Do you have to wait until the 20th for the four-string lager, or
no?
It's available down at Firehouse now?
It's going to be, and it'll be at our concerts.
Okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
At all three.
Yeah, that's right. They're okay. Delivering it to us tomorrow
okay.
at the Performing Arts Center. We have a new reception policy. We want the audience to come up on stage and see what it's like from the stage and to meet our musicians. So we have the Booze and Schmooze reception post-concert where the four-string lager will be presented.
Okay.
And it's an opportunity for the audience members to meet these great musicians. You heard them play, you heard mm-hmm. them speak. These are phenomenal people.
Yes. Okay, so ticket availability. How and?
Right on our website,
okay.
cmfbh.org. It goes right to our homepage. The programs okay. are there. You click on tickets. It'll take you directly to the Performing Arts Center website.
Oh, okay.
A great deal right now. So we have three classical concerts. If you buy the series, you get a ticket free, which means it's $20 per concert. If you buy all three, it's only $40. So you get a free concert.
Okay.
And so if you buy the series of three, it's only for the price of two.
And the concerts begin tomorrow evening, July 6th, and all are at 7 p.m., July 6th, the 13th, and the 20th at the Performing Arts Center here in Rapid City. Say thanks again to reintroduce the soloists who played with us today.
The soloists, first you heard Sir Tamás Kocsis on violin and Alan Morrison. The next work was Vaughn Williams, which was Sarah Grimes from Minnesota Orchestra, William Goodwin on viola from Ulster Orchestra in Belfast, Joel Dallow on cello from Atlanta Symphony, and myself.
Michael Hill, the executive director of the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills.
And Alan Morrison on piano. And then the final work was Grieg String Quartet, number one. And you heard Tomáš and myself do a little bit of the Vivaldi Four Seasons.
3 months ago, we sat here and said, and you came in to visit with us, said, well, maybe you could have a performance here. And I'm so pleased that you helped make this happen today.
Well, thank you for having us.
You have
great facilities.
And have a great concert season.
All right.
Thank you. And I want to say thanks also to China and to Michael and to Mike and to Brad for helping us here. And Lori, it's back to you. Thanks for letting us have a moment in sound from Rapid City.